Welcome back. All right, this half hour, we're going to talk about minor league baseball. The State College Spikes for the second consecutive year will be in the New York Penn League playoffs. They'll take on Hudson Valley opening game tonight at Dutchess Stadium just across the Hudson River, and then come back for game two tomorrow night at 7:05. And if necessary, Medler Field, Lebrana Park would host a game number three, and that would take place on Friday night. We're joined by the general manager of the and vice president of the State College Spikes, Jason Dombach. JD,
it's great being with you, Steve.
All right, let's get to, first of all, how it played out in the season for State College. I'm talking about from your perspective in terms of how the summer went, how the dates went, how the crowds responded, what you felt worked for you this summer.
Well, overall, it was a terrific season. You know, I know we'll talk about what happened between the white lines later on, but, you know, from a business standpoint, we had an exceptionally good year. You know, crowds were up. We had some of our best numbers, you know, across the board. A lot of the metrics that we look at, obviously, in terms of season tickets and groups and mini plans and single game tickets, merchandise sales, concessions, every single number in every category was up this year. So, you know, it was a good summer for us. Obviously, weather, you know, is going to affect you anytime. And while it did affect us on certain nights, we did have one rain out. We had a number of games that were definitely affected by the weather. Overall, it was a strong year for us. And, you know, the strength of our staff is our sales team. And, you know, those guys did a great job increasing season tickets and groups and making sure that we had pre-sale numbers that were very strong to combat any kind of weather issues that came up during the year. So overall, it was a good year. I think promotionally, we did some great things. We had some fun nights, you know, the Carlton night. We had 12 firework shows, the James Franklin bobblehead dolls last Thursday night. So overall, I was very thrilled with the season. And to have a team on the field that won its division by 12 and a half games and earned one of the top two seeds in the league was just really the cherry on top.
What did you learn from last year's playoff experience that can help you in marketing this year's playoff experience?
Well, we learned a lot. I mean, last year we knew nothing about the playoffs, and particularly in this market. And, you know, we learned a few things that I think are going to help us this year. You know, for one, you know, we learned that, you know, it's difficult to sell groups, and it's very difficult for those types of, you know, that category, you know, your church groups, your little league teams, you know, to be able to assemble on very short notice. So for us, it was really about attacking the pre-sale package sales, you know, and we were out ahead of it 3 weeks before the season ended. So we had the luxury of having a large lead and being able to game plan. And so we had four-game playoff packs on sale for 3 weeks, a little bit longer than we did last year, and that certainly helped. And, you know, so that was probably the biggest thing, and it's very affordable, you know, as low as $16 for all four games in the playoffs, or all four potential games in the playoffs. But I think the biggest thing that we learned from last year is there's a lot of education that needs to take place when it comes to minor league baseball playoffs. We found that fans generally don't understand the scenarios, and it's not on them. It's on us to make sure that we are pushing it out there, and so they understand all of the scenarios. And, you know, this year was a little trickier because it was a situation where we didn't know our opponent. We didn't know when we would play until Monday afternoon. So that gave us less than 36 hours until the series began to get things out and to get everything kind of organized. So we were that was a little different than last year when we knew we were going to be the number one seed overall and knew we were going to have, you know, the games 2 and 3 at home. This year we weren't sure. It went down to Monday. So I think the biggest thing we learned is that, you know, in most markets, and including this one, there's a lot of educating that needs to go on. Folks don't necessarily inherently understand how the playoffs in our league work. And so that's an ongoing process, and that's going to take time. This is only the second year we've ever made the playoffs, so we don't expect fans to understand that. That's our job to get that information out there.
Exactly. I know in the finale on Monday on Labor Day, you went up to Williamsport. Gabe Sinacopi and his group do a great job at Williamsport. A great job. How do you feel the strength of the league is right now in terms of the stability of the league? We know Jamestown's moving to Morgantown. We'll talk about that in a moment. But how is the overall feel for where this league stands now compared to even a few years ago?
I think the league's very strong, and it continues to make that shift to newer ballparks, and the modernization of minor league baseball is really evident in the New York Penn League. The minor league baseball, I think there's still a lot of folks that have the image of Bull Durham in their head when they think of minor league baseball. Right. But as you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. But in the New York Penn League, there certainly are those Bull Durham-type situations out there. Mm-hmm. You mentioned one in Jamestown, Batavia, Auburn. These are franchises that have been around and have had minor league baseball going back to the 30s and the 40s, and they have ballparks that haven't really changed much since then. Williamsport's a good example of that, too, although, as you mentioned, they do a tremendous job there, and they have modernized an older ballpark up at Bowman Field to some degree, so they've done a nice job there. But,
right.
In our league, those types of franchises really are finding it harder to fit in, and the economics just don't really work anymore for franchises that draw 700 or 800 fans a game. That's not good, and that's where Jamestown was at, and that's why they were forced to look elsewhere. And the move to Morgantown, which will take place for next year, can only strengthen the league. It's going to be a modern facility. Which means that they're going to draw fans. It's in a good market. They share a facility with a major college program like we do here in State College. So the league continues to grow, and I think in 10 years, you're going to see even more of a shift to the more modernization, and that's really emblematic of what's happening around minor league baseball. Most of the ballparks, almost 90% of ballparks around minor league baseball, have been built since 1990, and if you take the number of ballparks that have been built since 1999, mm-hmm. or right around 2000, you're talking about 75%. So, I mean, you're talking a significant number of minor league franchises out of the 160 are playing in modern facilities now. And that's what the beauty of the New York Penn League is. You have the modern facilities, but you have kind of that turn back clock mentality in our league as well.
This used to be a league of, as you mentioned, Jamestown, Auburn, Oneata, Geneva, Utica, Batavia, Watertown, Elmira. That's what this league used to be. Now it's dramatically changed. The Jamestown to Morgantown thing, of course, shocked no one along the way. But as you said, they can do nothing but actually strengthen the profile of the league and get them into a market that can be fun for everyone.
Yeah, and I think what's fun about that move for those of us who enjoy the Spikes, whether you work for the Spikes or whether you're a fan of the team, that's going to be a good rivalry with us because we'll be one of their closer rivals. That'll be probably our second closest team that we'll go play, about 3 hours away.
Right.
And the similarities between the structure of the ballpark and the relationship with the university, that's going to be a fun thing. It's great for the league. There's no doubt about it. And, I have had the opportunity, as you have, to go to Morgantown. And actually, mm-hmm. I went on behalf of the league a couple of years ago and attended an economic summit. And I was shocked by how vibrant that region of West Virginia is.
Right.
It's not the mentality a lot of people have of the state of West Virginia.
Exactly.
It's actually pretty progressive. There's big industry there. There's pharmaceutical. Of course, you have the natural resources industries and the Marcellus Shale. I mean, there's some money in that area, and it's going to make it for a very good franchise, and it fits the footprint. It fits a footprint where right now there aren't any affiliated minor league franchises, and it's good for the Pittsburgh Pirates because they'll have an affiliate, 90 miles away. Mm-hmm. So it's a win-win for everybody involved.
We're with Jason Dombach, Vice President, General Manager of the State College Spikes. The Spikes will open the New York Penn League playoffs tonight at Dutchess Stadium against Hudson Valley at 6:35. Then tomorrow night, they are guaranteed a home game at Medlar Field, Lebrano Park at 7:05. And then, if necessary, Friday at 7:05 as well. And they have ticket packages on sale for all of that now. When you go to minor league baseball meetings, when you go to baseball meetings, JD, what's the feeling? Mark Emmert had made a misplaced statement about minor league baseball, which he immediately retracted. So let's be fair, you know, once he got a little more information about it. Is there a great feeling about minor league baseball at those meetings, considering the economic condition and the fact that minor league baseball is so affordable at this point?
Yeah, you know, the feeling generally in my 15 years, it really hasn't changed a lot in terms of we all know what we can bring to our local community.
Right.
So I think in each of our 160 communities, you are the most fun, affordable family entertainment option, and that's the way we continue to position our industry. It's not about the baseball. It's about all the fun stuff. It's about the connection with the community. But I think, you know, the last couple of years, the shift has really been to how can we take this model, aggregate it together, and take minor league baseball as a brand to this level. And I think you're going to start to see over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see minor league baseball trying to position itself to where it can start to go after some bigger dollars, you know, perhaps like on Madison Avenue, or to go after some major brands and increase sponsorship inventory. Aggregating the 160 teams and the 42 million fans who attend minor league baseball games and turning that into something. You know, if you look at it right now, we're just 160 franchises. We operate, you know, in our own little areas. We do our own revenues, but we've never really pulled it together. And the greatest example that we've been shown is Major League Soccer.
Right.
You know, Major League Soccer Right. doesn't draw anywhere near what we draw minor league baseball. But, you know, their sponsorship revenues are, you know, $30, $40 million a year. And obviously they've got a national television contract and soccer is growing, and that's important. But, you know, 42 million fans, that is more fans than any sport outside of Major League Baseball. It's more than the NFL. It's more than the NBA. We're not claiming to be those leagues, obviously. We're not. But there's power in number, and we've not done a great job of that as an industry capitalizing on that. So that is something, there's a new effort, there's a new head of marketing at Minor League Baseball, and I think you're going to see Minor League Baseball reinvented over the next 5 to 10 years to where, you know, hopefully it can position itself as number five, you know, list of, you know, who are the big sports out there. And Minor League Baseball definitely belongs because of the power in numbers.
State College as a market. I don't think people understand some of the dynamics. Tri-Cities in the playoffs, but they're part of the Albany-Schenectady-Troy market. Connecticut's in the playoffs. Well, Norwich, New London, near Hartford, okay? Population near Providence even, for goodness sakes. Then you have, obviously, Hudson Valley, okay? Suburban New York, near White Plains. Newburgh is a decent-sized market. That's just an example of the markets within your own league. I didn't even mention Lowell, which is suburban Boston and so forth. State College is actually one of the smaller markets in the New York Penn League. What challenge does it bring to you when it's a smaller market, especially in a college town where summer session is not as active as fall or spring?
Well, I think what we make up for in lack of population, we make up for in demographics. I mean, it's an area that is always looking for an entertainment. Has money to spend for the most part. You know, there are advantages that we have in this market. You know, I think particularly in State College itself, you know, you have a younger demo. You see younger families at the ballpark. You see that every single night.
Yes, I do.
And we also have a good business. You know, there are you know, a tremendous business community in central Pennsylvania. For a town, quote unquote, the size of State College, to have some real major players, you know, like an AccuWeather or Rex Energy,
right?
HRI, you know, these type of companies that you know are well known nationally and internationally, you know, having them in your backyard is a huge advantage. And so, you know, we've done a really good job, I think, in building those partnerships. And you have to do that. You have to get the sponsor dollars. You have to get the ticket dollars to survive. You know, we've done a relatively good job at that, and we want to continue to grow that and continue to make this a viable franchise, which I think we have, and our challenge is to continue to do so. But there's not a lot of margin for error, and that is what makes it difficult. And, you know, we've got to get out in hand-to-hand combat, build those partnerships, massage those relationships, and it's really important that we do so because, you know, the success of our franchise really depends on it.
And that's part of the branding part. Something, I'll be frank with you, maybe 10, 15 years ago I didn't understand, but had others drum into me the importance of the branding part of it. Do you now feel 9 seasons deep that the Spikes have established a brand in Central Pennsylvania?
Well, I definitely do, and I think we can always continue to strive to do better. I think that the one thing that I wasn't sure about before the Spikes began, you may have had these same questions and concerns, was, you know, how would this franchise fit in the DNA of this market? And I think we found that over the 9-plus years now of Spikes baseball, when you think about summertime in this area, you know, we hope that most people think of the Spikes near the top of their list when they're thinking of something to do. And our numbers reflect that people are doing that. Is it a 100% share? No. But I think you could probably walk down the street most times and 9 out of 10 people are going to know who the Spikes are. And that's pretty good. I think that's right up there with any market in the country. So, you know, from a branding standpoint, you know, we went into it the right way, I think, initially, and that was that we were going to be a community asset. We were going to open our doors at the ballpark to charities and nonprofits, and we were going to send our mascot to every event that we possibly could and get out and volunteer. And that's the kind of thing that pays off. And, You know, you can't just open the gates and play baseball and expect to be welcome. You know, you have to get out there and be proactive about it. I'm proud of the job that we've done. But again, we could always continue to strive to be better.
And now for the frightening question, you're always, you know, you're rarely looking back, you're always looking forward. Have you already started to think about how you want to handle the 10th year of the franchise, building around the 10th season?
Without question. We've already started to plan some things and look forward to unveiling that throughout the offseason. No question about it. It's going to be a neat benchmark, 10 years. That's hard to believe, man. I'm sure nobody looks at that more crooked than you do, Steve. It's hard to believe it's been that long. But, yeah, we'll have some fun things planned. But first things first, we want to win a New York Penn League championship. And if we can do that, boy, I'll tell you what, to combine, you know, a championship team and a celebration that we'll be able to do next year around our 10th year, I think that's a marketing person's dream. That'll make our job a lot easier, believe me.
And again, the Cardinals will be on board for 2 more years. In fact, virtually everybody, I think that's what everybody did, JD. Almost everybody went 2 years across the board from what you and I have been able to understand. So the 2-year deal is not unusual right now. Gabe was telling us on Monday that even the Phillies with the franchises they owned went 2 years. But what has it meant just that, you know, they have to supply the talent, but they also have to supply a relationship. What's it been like?
Well, that's what it is. You know, they've been able to provide us with terrific talent. And, you know, you can never guarantee a certain level of club at this level. I mean, it's so dependent on the major league draft. I mean, even your player development people, you know, they're not super involved in the draft process. So, you know, in some ways, the folks who mold the instruction and the talent evaluation in the Cardinals organization, you know, they're a lot of times the first time they're ever getting a chance to see certain players here in state college. So I think it speaks to the quality of scouting that the Cardinals have, the resources they put into it. They're not afraid to get involved in Latin America. They've done very well there, of course. Some really talented Latin American players here in state college, more so than probably you know, we've seen a lot of other organizations over the last 10 years that we've been watching the New York Penn League. But, you know, the thing that I love most about the Cardinals, and you see this every day, it's just they're great people. You know, that's not saying anything about anyone else, but just it's great when you can have a winning product and you have just terrific people, our coaching staff,
right,
all the Cardinals people. We had Jason Isringhausen here mm-hmm. the last 4 days. He works for the Cardinals now. Willie right. McGee. You know, these are guys that obviously are well-known former major leaguers. Willie McGee's case, he's a Cardinals Hall of Famer. You know, and they're great people, and they're just fun. They make being at the ballpark a lot of fun, and they're very accessible to the fans, too. And I haven't had one bad experience at all with a player, a coach, a roving instructor. They're all just blown away by the support that we provide them here in State College, and very supportive of what we're trying to do to get butts in the seats and to market the franchise. And so it's been a wonderful partnership.
Well, it starts tonight at Hudson Valley at 6:35. Then tomorrow night, Thursday night, 7:05, Medler Field, Lebrano Park. If necessary, Friday night, 7:05, Medler Field, Lebrano Park. And tickets are on sale for the State College Spikes. JD, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Okay, Steve. You have a good trip up to Hudson Valley. I'll see you Thursday.
We'll come back with more in a moment.